There are few words more important in the lexicon of club cricket than wheels. You could be talking about your fast twitch quick, who cranks it up when needed, leaving you feeling safe in the ring, protected by your on-field king. You could be talking about footwear. They say the eye is the window to the soul. In club cricket, the wheel is your ticket to the circuit. If the circuit is your kingdom, then your wheels are your king. Or you could be talking about your transportation. You can hear them whispering, "Have you seen his wheels?" Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the king of cricket wheels, the Pajero Sport. This bad boy has advanced four-wheel drive performance with Super Select 2 four-wheel drive system, letting you switch between two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive at up to 100 kilometres an hour, so you can handle any terrain with ease. That means away days just got that much better. But there's more. With 3.1-tonne braked towing capacity, it's the Car Expert 2023 Best Four-Wheel Drive Off-Road SUV. That's match-winning gear, guaranteeing you make your way up the grades. Pajero Sport. Take adventure to the next level.
Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, the boys are here.
They're nervous. They're calm.
Boysies.
Get rarer.
Why is this happening to me?
Me.
We're not getting Maccas and you can blame my son.
Get a few today, did you?
It's great to contractually be obliged to be here. Thank
you. Is anyone going to listen to this or what?
No, I actually don't know what happens in third grade.
You either get nude or get in the shower. Or we're throwing all your cricket gear in, bro.
Jamie's like, no chance I'm going to follow you.
19th century Pax Britannica.
Australia beat New Zealand by 172 runs in the first test in Wellington, as is our birthright. We pick apart a subpar performance from the Aussies. We fantasise about changes needed to be made for the second test and eulogise over the size of the thing batting at four. New Zealand once again fall short against Australia by once again underperforming against Big Brother. The pain is real, but hey, we've all got skeletons, don't we? There's also India against England, fifth test preview in Dharamshala, BCCI contracts and those that didn't get them. There's YJB's 100th test match, Ollie Robinson's podcast, and loan deals for spinners. Will Bukowski gets hit in the head again in the Shield and all the Shield updates. And by that, I mean we'll be looking at names doing good things and are never going to play for Australia until this great Australian team all retires on exactly the same date. Hashtag AskTGC is about cheating in school cricket and everything else that comes in between. Sam Perry, how are you feeling about retaining the trophy that they play for, I think, in Australia against New Zealand?
I feel like there's a sense of an ending. Upon us, it's March 4. As the cricket season starts, you know, or as it's kind of rounding the bend out of footy season, you can smell that jasmine in the spring. It gives way to, you know, fresh fruit and, you know, fresh flowers and salty air of the summer. And now it's just like, now footy's back. It's yeah. Vegas.
Yeah.
Some bloke got suspended in Aussie rules. You know, that was the lead story.
How many weeks?
Yes, yeah, St Kilda guy.
Everton weeks.
Exactly.
How many Everton weeks?
Yeah.
Goalposts going
up. What's the crossover there?
On suburban cricket grounds.
Yeah.
Goalposts starting to go up. The white paint being sprayed.
Yeah.
In bathrooms.
Exactly. So it does feel a little bit like last couple of weeks of school. We've got two main pods left.
That's
before
right.
We take a little hiatus right. From the pod, the mm-hmm. main pod, the long pod. You know, I'm substitute. It's getting colder. I'm substituting a cotton boxer short when I go to sleep or yeah. a birthday suit.
Yeah,
you know, for a longer, albeit thinner pant. You know.
Okay. Yep.
Am I tucking my socks over the top
I see.
Or my pant into the sock?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is Melbourne. That's some Melbourne stuff I'm dealing with. But I'm just talking about things. You know, you look at the aesthetic of New Zealand, of Wellington.
Yeah.
People in, you know, like, you know, the wind shitter there.
Yes.
Like right. there are people staying, you know, like cozying up, getting warm. Here in Melbourne was Super Rugby round. Every single Super Rugby team was here. Nobody knew about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? But they're all here.
All
you
here.
You know? Things are changing. And yet some things stay the same. Big Brother, Australia, New Zealand stuff. I really enjoyed seeing some Kiwi stuff
yep.
this week. Yep. Hadn't been there for 8 years.
Yep.
We got a cavalcade of commentary, like, you know, just sort of just piercing its way into our ears every yeah. single day, underscoring the emotion that New Zealanders
big
feel about
big
Australia being there
yep.
and the pain as that game went on and the sort of commensurate frustration we have that despite winning by 172 runs, changes need to be made.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm happy and I'm embracing the changes.
Yeah. Seasons are changing.
Mm.
Changes afoot.
Yeah.
But not in this particular series where the same thing that always happens has already happened. Support for TGC comes via Patreon, patreon.com/greatcricketer. You can get behind TGC there. You can sign up for $5 or $10 a month US. If that's what you want to do to get behind TGC and keep this whole juggernaut rolling, get hashtag Ask TGC Fridays every single week for more of this frivolity. I'm talking about the first test match there. Australia batted first. They were sent in by New Zealand, made 383 in the first innings. New Zealand then bowled out for 179 in their first innings. Australia then rolled somewhat for 164, meaning that New Zealand needed 369 to win, and they were bowled out for 196, meaning Australia won their game by 172 runs. Those are the scores on the doors of what happened there in the last few days in Wellington. Cameron Green, man of the match. We're going to start there. We'll start with Cameron Green. A breakout performance of sorts, not even of sorts, it's his best performance playing for Australia, no question about that. I'm not sure how many tests he's already played. I reckon it's going to be something ridiculously high, something in the mold of like 25 or something like that. And it's his second test 100. He made 174 not out. He also scored 34 in the third innings of the game, took one for in the fourth innings. So contributed all round. No big bucket catches, I would say. So disappointing in terms of really closing it off. They're really rounding out as a full-bodied performance.
He caught Ratchan Ravindra at point. It was an easy catch, but he still saw the ball in like disappear
That's true.
Into the bucket.
That's true. And we know it's actually a tough seeing ground, Wellington.
Yeah.
We know that, don't we?
Well, he was competing with Nathan Lyon for that player of the match, a gong, as Lyon kind of swept through New Zealand in the final innings right. there. And they gave Green the ball and he just bowled one to Coogs that was at 145 into the deck.
Yeah.
Seams back into his body, just sort of in an ugly fashion, took gloves and got his wicket there as well. Just to underscore like, well, okay, I may be batting four, but I can still sort of crank it up to 140s
when needed.
And then pincering the stump as he walks off. As a souvenir. Not a moment too soon, given sweeping changes are required among the top order
or
the entire batting unit.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Shield results, so any other all-rounders knocking about. You know, Nisa in the squad, of course.
Obviously.
It's only
quickest.
We were talking about this on our daily reviews, which obviously you can listen to or watch whenever you like, if that's what you want to do. If you don't want to do it, then why the fuck would you do it, you idiot? And we were talking about how it's only taken Cameron Green three games. He obviously played the first two games. He played the two games of the West Indies series at home at Adelaide and then in Brisbane, and then played this game in the number four batting position, which is obviously hugely controversial because he's taking over, as we've already discussed, I think Australia's greatest ever number four batsman in Steve Smith. Other guys have done really well for Australia. You put in the conversation, oh, maybe some guys are better than Steve Smith. You're looking at your Bradmans, your Pontings, your Borders, your Chappells, etc. When did Chappell bat? He bat three?
Chappell debuted at seven. Mm. He was a four.
He was a four, though. Yeah. Okay. So in terms of greatest ever number four, Steve Smith, because Bradman batted three, Ponting batted three, for the most part I'm talking about. Steve Waugh, lower order, same with Border. But a greatest ever number four, it's right up there with Steve Smith. Greg Chappell, of course, have been that as well. So you're replacing our greatest ever number four, you're going to want to start putting some numbers on the board. You know what I mean? Taking him three games to bat in his preferred position where he bats for Western Australia and has done outstandingly to get himself into the Australian side basically straight away. Get this bloke fucking out of Shield. Get him out of it. He's got to be hanging out with the big boys. 174 red, winning the game by 172 runs. Felt important. Also putting on a 10th wicket stand of 116 with Josh Hazlewood. Or Joss.
Yeah. Anyone with that name's gone now. It's interchangeable.
It's too easy.
Yeah, Joss English scored some runs for WA this week.
He did. Shout out to Joshua Butler. On the second morning there of Wellington, so whilst Lyon has taken 10 for, that was sort of like what was needed. Or it was sort of like expected in some way. If it's spinning, then your spinner's got to do that thing. Mm. On a seeming deck, sent in 174 and 34, so more than 200 runs in the game. I mean, like, that's
all you can ask for. It's as much as you can ask for.
It's the outstanding performance of the Australian summer, and I include this in the Australian summer. Mm. Warner scored 190, didn't he, in the first test at the Wacker there? Perth. That was obviously a great performance. Cummins has bowled fantastically, but this is so obviously match-winning.
Red as well. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, We have comically impossibly high standards in Australia, and Cameron Green has, before his career started, we were told that he was going to be better than Ricky Ponting.
Yeah, that's right.
And also as an all-rounder. Yeah. Nobody has come into Test cricket for Australia in such a long time carrying more expectation than this guy.
Even Nathan Lyon recently said, like, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but he might be the greatest player of all time.
Honestly, and this is against the backdrop of, like, historically Australia struggling to produce the kind of all-rounders that we've seen, you know, around the world.
Callous. How come he wasn't Australian? Yeah. How come we don't have that? Daddy, get me that. That's what we're like.
Like, Cameron Green could match the record of guys like Andrew Flintoff and Ben Stokes and let's say Shane Watson.
Okay.
And I suspect Aussies will think unders unless this guy becomes the great, like, one of the top five cricketers we've ever produced.
Yeah.
People aren't going to be happy. That's the way the nation works.
That's right.
I'm sorry to the players who have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But that's how we maintain these standards. The whole economy and success of Australian cricket runs off the back of mediocre people in pubs being upset if you're not averaging 50 or taking FIFA.
That's right.
That vibration permeates the nation, and that's why we remain the best.
Yeah. Do you know what I like as well? I like in comp, because obviously he's got a great deal with MI in the IPL. He's gone to RCB this year, but
not that great a deal then.
No, but I think Australians as well do like it when our boys get the big bucks, you know?
Oh, yeah. Deep down we like it, but we also mock them and you know, we make sure we money shame them as well.
Absolutely, right.
Coffees are on you, Cummer.
Yeah, that's right. Because it sort of makes me feel like I'm getting full value, like I'm getting some of the money as well. Just that's right. Like where I'm from.
The national coffers.
Where I'm from. Overseas people see where I'm from as somewhere of value.
I hope we do from a tax perspective. The money goes to schools and roads and stuff like that.
You mean flat decks, roads? Oh, you're talking about the suburb in Sydney?
No.
Next to Meadow Bank.
No, the road that we're trying to produce at the SCG, like to fix the deck there. For the AFL, that is. For the actual aesthetic of the centre bounce.
For the new drop-in.
Yeah. No, it was good. Like, the nation breathed a sigh of relief, you know, that Cameron Green's just beginning to deliver on the promise.
Finally.
With 174 not out. Jeez, in a low-scoring game.
Yeah, that's right.
More runs in that innings than, was it Australia in their third innings?
Yeah,
would that be right?
Yeah, yeah. Ten more runs.
Which I think is the main talking point of this game. Despite a 172-run victory, it was subpar.
Yeah, that's right.
We weren't happy.
Let's talk about the failures, the continual failures.
Mm.
How many in the last – or during the Australian summer, only 100 was scored? Warner.
Yeah.
Is that right? No one scored 100?
Nah, Heddy got one in Adelaide, I think.
Did he? Yeah, okay.
CB, can we – you're probably busy, actually. I've got a laptop here.
Yeah. So, I mean, but saying that, like, we expected the Australian summer to be...
You want more hundreds.
Absolute, like, just...
Montages.
We wanted to be gluttons. We wanted to be gluttons for runs. It was going to be, now I've got a problem with the word feedback at the moment. Like if someone's...
It's destroyed.
It's destroyed because it sounds like feedback. But I was expecting the Australian summer and the five test matches that we got to just be a feedback for me to watch the cricket and just chew on the runs, the successes, the wickets, the
Strap
holes.
It in.
The celebrations, the happiness that was going to give me, whilst also being disappointed in the stand of the opposition.
Yeah.
So couple those two emotions. But I was expecting a feedback to be strapped to my face and over the summer.
That's the scans consolation we require because of the two-speed economy of world cricket now.
We
bemoan the lack of competition.
Fucks this shit.
That our own nation has contributed to.
Fucks this.
Exactly. Where we hoard all the money. So we bemoan that there isn't this competition. Gee, I used to love when the West Indies came out here or whatever.
Well, it's good for cricket.
Well, now that they're here, I will strap the old feed bag to the mouth and go to work. You know, I want at least three or four montages a game of blokes scoring runs. I want them compared to some of the greats of the game.
You know what I need that set to? A soft underbeat of sort of steel drum stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, you know? Is that Mario Kart? I'm not sure. Let us know in the
all
comments.
Shot in 8K or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't get that. Instead, we only won four of the five tests.
I'll tell you who was a good bowler. Kirtley Ambrose.
Wasn't he good?
Tell you who was a good batter. Brian Lara.
Brian Lara. Oh. Get him in the nets.
Yeah. Viv Richards. Oh, I love that. I love the way he went about it.
Now, do you have a little bit more sympathy for the parochialism of our own commentary now that we had a crack at we had a look at what New Zealand's throwing up?
It does help the Aussie get a more global experience of what people say about travel. You know, it broadens the mind and enriches your own life. Now, just getting to experience some of the parochialism going around different countries now, it's evolving to the point of getting down to the fine art of simply turning up in a skirt and pom-poms and just going about your work and cheerleading. You know, just turning up, just getting on the old mic there and going,
it obviously, pays. It must work. You get to the question of like every country has its own brand of fuckwittery. No, it does, including Australia. Equal fuckwittery. Oh, well, we can play.
I don't really see that, but yeah.
No, I mean, Australia's led the way for a long time. You ask most, if you did a family feud.
Scoreboard says.
Of which country has the biggest proportion of fuckwits. I still think Australia's coming out on top.
Yeah.
According to most people.
Which makes me feel good, being on top again.
Indeed.
Number That's one. Right.
We're allowed to.
Yeah.
We're good at cricket.
That's right.
But, every country's got its own thing going.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
India, censorship, so I won't say.
Yeah.
Can't. And IPL coming up in that. And England's doing a blind evangelism, Pentecostalism stuff.
Yeah.
All good. Like, it's a brand.
Yes.
It's a brand.
Yeah.
It mutates, metastasizes. It's not everyone, but the those who fly the flag of the dickheads, that's how it's manifested.
Very drinking the Kool-Aid stuff. Yep.
Australia, long and storied history of arrogance and dismissiveness of everybody.
God-tier.
And anything. God-tier arrogance and dismissiveness. A sort of a bogan snobbery.
Yeah.
And now New Zealand. What is it? Just a lot of pain about Australia. A lot of dismissals simply described as, oh no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's an air of resignation, which is, it breaks the heart a little.
Articles in the lead up to this test match saying like New Zealand needed to really harden up and sort of match the arrogance of the Aussies and stuff.
Now we're talking, okay, yeah. Would you say they need to go toe to toe?
They would, yeah.
And kiss.
No, that's what New Zealand tried to do for a while there. Hmm. And this is what I'm asking you.
Okay.
We were always suspicious of the nice guy stuff.
Always.
Because you just understand that humans aren't like that. It's state of nature stuff. It's Thomas Hobbes.
And also, anytime you meet a 10 out of 10 bloke, you're like, there's something.
Do you have a dungeon in your house?
Yeah, that involves dolls or mannequins.
That's right.
Yeah,
where you turn up, yeah,
you turn over, and you go to work.
That's right, and that was the general view towards New Zealand.
Yeah,
but now we're seeing a different. I don't know if it's a change of PM or whatever. We're seeing a different type of Kiwi mentality come out, which is like just a bit of visceral sort of scorn for Australians
because we love the stories of the All Blacks, the national, like you would say, fundamentally the national team of New Zealand, the All Blacks, like the humility that they show whilst also being one of the greatest sporting teams in any sport in the world.
But yeah,
cheats,
yeah,
living offside.
Richie McCall was born offside, like Philippe Inzaghi.
And so we like the humility of like, oh, they clean up after themselves, you know? Even though they're so good and they're so refined and they represent their country so beautifully, you know? The married population, you know? Wonderful stuff.
Mm.
And then
is that magnanimity from Australians though? Is that, oh, I love all the good parts of New Zealand. I'm not taking it seriously, but
So
there's a condescension.
Well, that's part of the birthright. Again, it's actually on the passport of the Australians.
Which again is, if you didn't tune into our dailies, which is why Cameron Green was not the best performer in this test match, it was Brendan Julian. I'm being serious. Like nobody embodied the casual indifference of Australians to Kiwis, which Brendan Julian is more than entitled to do given his upbringing with New Zealand.
Yep.
He executed that with aplomb. There is no commentator I would want there more to kind of offset what we were hearing from some of the other guys, again, who continually said, oh no, when a Kiwi batter got out, than Brendan Julian. Now, we were saying on the daily, okay, you always want June there. You want June in any situation.
Yes,
but
we
don't need to roll out, the Ferrari for this stuff. No. BJ will do the job, which I thought was fine.
Sort of a Range Rover, BJ. Yeah. Now, he's going to have to turn up to the second test in a neck brace, as we've seen, because he had to snap his neck so many times. He actually caused himself a bit of C3, C4 stuff. he's actually BJ's give yourself neck stressies from having to listen to some of the gear that was going on. Yeah. But, you know,
cucumbers over the eyes at night.
But at the same time, you know, because Australians fundamentally, or my experience anyway, is like we love New Zealanders. We love, but then, you know.
Are you being honest now?
I'm being honest now. But then, but then the feedback on the way back has been like, we fucking hate you guys. Mm. And it's like, why? What have we ever done? Now, the answer to that is quite a lot. And we'll be going through that at our live show in Christchurch on Thursday this coming week.
Very excited.
Looking forward to seeing some faces there. Just faces and skeletons. And so it's all very confusing. But, like, at the same time, the New Zealand team in the last few years have actually – I'm being serious now. They've actually had a really good team. We didn't get to play – no, sorry. The year that New Zealand came out to Australia, 2019-2020, our summer out here, was the year before New Zealand went on to win the World Test Championship final in India, the very first one. That was a really good team. And they were poor when they came out here. It ends up being there's a whole bunch of injuries. I think by the last test match, it was a completely decimated side. But it was 2-0 leading into that third test match of the SCG. This time around, this team that they've got right now, it's not as good as that team. But it's still good. It's still got good players. And it's like you're turning up, they're winning the toss. Like I mean, if I was analysing the game, they were dog shit on day one. They bowled terribly. They should never have gotten to a position where Australia made 363 in the first innings. 383 in the first innings. So Australia finished the first day at 279, I think it might have been. And then coming out for that second morning, Australia bat for an entire session with Hazelwood and Green. Southie said in the press conference after the game or in the last couple of days, he said, like, yeah, we got it wrong. We should have tried to get Green out. Glenn Phillips didn't even bowl in the first innings, I don't think. You know,
that's a funny quote in isolation.
We should try to get him out.
Oh, okay. What was the actual strategy? That's harsh.
You know, you look at the rest of the scores, 164, 179, 196. It's a tough deck. I mean, 383 is just, Australia shouldn't, yeah. That point being, if I'm a Kiwi fan, it's like, oh, fuck, again. Like, we're much better than this, but they never play well against us. That'd be so frustrating.
They're in their own heads about it. Again, there's articles about this stuff. I was hearing the commentators talk about it. You know, was it tunnel stuff? You know, was it Champions League tunnel? Mm. You know, were they just looking across at the size of it? And not Will O'Rourke, obviously.
I feel like Australia with the athletes and New Zealand with the mascots, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Australia walking out with the mascots.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is, Australia make 383. Why couldn't New Zealand just bowl at the stumps, just top of off?
Just hit more stumps.
Just chip away. Mm. Chip away at the channel, you know?
Mm.
Anyway. Mm. Because you've got to remember, and you've forgotten, it was 3-0 in the T20 series as well. So 3-0 in the T20 series, 1-0 in the Test series. If you play multi-format, that's 10 zip. You're up. You're looking at 14 zip, clean sweep. Now, there's been a bit of chat about whether Kane Williamson is a feed bag merchant, in that he reserves his runs for the lower tier boys. Incorrect.
He's at the trough for the lower.
It's incorrect. That's rubbish and disrespectful and insulting. And I wouldn't be surprised if he straps on a little bag himself, feed bag, that is,
straps a feed
to
bag
be
on,
clear, in Christchurch. Yeah, he's Kane Williamson's a gun, and he has done the business against Australia and India and England before. He has several hundreds against them and against some other big boys as well.
He scored 800s against England, Australia and India.
Yeah, that's right. And he's played some pretty good teams who aren't in those nations, who aren't of those nations, sorry. So, yeah, that's rubbish chat, to be frank. And Christchurch is a different wicket. I hope New Zealand do take the gas and now pick a spinner and withdraw a quick or whatever it is, over-index on spin now on a completely different wicket.
Yeah.
That would be good. But I do think that, I wouldn't be surprised if Kane scored some runs.
Nathan Lyon took 10 for 108 in the game, 4 for 43, 6 for 65. It's undoubtedly going to upset a lot of people when he passes Glenn McGrath. He's 36 wickets away from McGrath's 563 wickets. I've got some stats. You want me to read through some stats here about Nathan
Lyon? Let him wash.
That's his ninth country he's taken a bag in. That's equal to Warne and Murali. So he's got him in Sri Lanka, in West Indies, in India, in Australia, obviously, in South Africa, in Bangladesh, in England, Pakistan and New Zealand. That's the first 10 for in New Zealand for a spinner since Dan Vettori, and Murali did it in 2006 in Wellington. Lyon has now taken 119 fourth innings wickets, and that's the second most in history behind Warne's 138. Third is Harath, who has like a sort of forgottenly good record. Like, his record's amazing, Harath. Over 400 test wickets, I'm pretty sure. I'll include that last stat just because you were talking about it yesterday on the daily. It was like sort of forgotten that Lyon, for a few years, he was being begged by the public to like win us a game in the fourth innings. And now he's got the second most fourth innings wickets in history behind Warne. So that's good. And I also just really enjoy the conversation, as I was saying to you earlier, Pez, I just really enjoy the conversation about Lyon and Ashwin. And like, you know, like people feel like they have to choose, you know, they have to choose between one. And I say like, we should just,
is that, like,
you know.
Have you made up that? No, I haven't seen that chat anywhere.
I was reading about it this morning. People,
I got it, mate. Your poison.
Mate, people were just saying, you know, we should just appreciate them while we've still got them. To see two greats at the same time, you know, it's like Messi and Ronaldo.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Two greats at the same time.
Yeah. Federer and Nadal, you know.
Yeah. And it's just these ones. Yeah. It's just doorknobs. Two of the greats just doing that, you know?
Well, like both of them sitting next to each other at cricket's Ballon d'Or, you know? Social clips for days. Yeah,
Lyon,
you know what I mean?
Lyon's kid saying Ashwin for the first time. Being a clip that, oh, wow, it's our Ashwin.
Boys.
I think it's just wonderful, you know? Just two greats at the same time. We're so lucky to be in this era, you know? Anyway, Lyon was good. And I think, I mean, his contribution as well, he made 41 in the first.
Yeah.
Sorry, in the third innings.
He's one of Australia's greatest tail enders.
Yep. People
would have seen. It's absolute nonce chat, but it's true.
People would have seen the stat. He's got the most runs in Test cricket history by someone that's never made 50. Yeah.
I'm not interested in that shit. Like he's, sorry, I don't mean that to reject what you just said. Aww. There, sort of. Oh, please. No, because the thing is, when you start talking tail end batters, you're always going to come back to the McGrath-Gillespie stuff. You know, McGrath against New Zealand, 61, Gillespie, Bangladesh, Gillespie in that partnership with McGrath, the Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it's got to get into the gear where there's shots of the dressing room absolutely hosing themselves at the fact that this absolute moron with a cricket bat.
Goober.
He's an absolute goober, has managed to eke out 17.
Yeah.
You know? How the fuck is this happening? What's this witchcraft that I'm observing?
But that, like, whereas that was kind of the case with, well, that was definitely the case with Glenn McGrath scoring runs.
Definitely.
Yeah. Less so Jason Gillespie.
Yeah.
Nathan Lyon is he's more in the Gillespie, even better than Gillespie mold as a bat. Now, he doesn't have a double ton, so maybe you can't say that. but like, some of his innings for Australia with the bat have been extremely important. Less than Edge Baston with Cummins.
Yep.
And that shot off Stuart Broad over wide mid-on is one of the best shots I've ever seen live under pressure with a baying crowd. And you do have to remember that Edge Baston is a fortress.
Yeah, that's right.
It gets very willing there and difficult for oppositions just because of how, you know, full-on it is. They talk about that and Galatasaray away.
Well, the Australian crowd and Merv Hughes' collective had to be held in the ground until the England fans had left.
That's right.
Just for safety reasons.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. so he's, it just underscores what a great, not great, cricketer he is. His brother, and he's there, the trees.
Yeah.
And you saw the catch he took off Ravindra. I mean, he's really valuable in the field. And he also appears to have very willing and enjoyable conversations with Murray Erasmus at square leg.
So, that was his last game, Erasmus.
This one coming up, or was that it?
Was that Curtains for Taylor Swift's number one fan.
I heard he was aware of that.
Do you want to talk about the downsides again? Lack of runs?
That's what I'm here for.
Okay, good.
We just endured that.
So we have to caveat this with none of this matters because there's one test left for 10 months, nearly. Whenever the first test of India and Australia is out here next summer.
Australia needs to win this test, though. There'll be recriminations. The entire summer's over if Australia doesn't win this test.
Might be important for World Test Championships.
Big time.
New Zealand is still ahead of Australia on the World Test Championship.
Well, that makes sense.
Exactly. But if Australia win this game, they'll jump them. But Marnus is just out of form. And I think every player in the history of the game has been out of form at one time or another. Is the moment that Marnus appears to be in a bit of a rut. But we just forget how quickly he literally saved the game at Manchester in the fourth test of the Ashes to help Australia secure retention of the Ashes.
Mm.
But since then, no doubt, it's lean and doesn't look like scoring a run. It looks timid. It looks nervous. It's fishy. It's caught on the crease. It's finding ways to get out. He's out of form, but he's going to play this game and he's going to play a season of county cricket. He's obviously got the Shield season at the beginning of next year. It's so long before they next play a test match and he's playing this one, so it doesn't matter. But he is out of form. Thoughts?
Well, like Cummins just straight up blocked any chat about it, any conversation yesterday, I think. It was just absolutely not considering anything to do with Marnus leaving the team or being dropped. I agree with you. Unfortunately, in media environments and public discourse,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to the private ones in Brooklyn.
yeah, that's right.
And online spaces. You can't just say someone's just badly out of form that happens in cricket.
Yeah.
It has to be a full investigation as to whether the player has been fooling us for all these years.
It must be eradicated.
Fuck, he did well to fake averaging 60
for four years. He tricked us.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Or to anchor the team in the World Cup final where he just played an excellent role for 17 games. I know it's not in white clothes,
but that was on at 2:30 in the morning our time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like 15, 20 years ago, a guy could just be out of form.
Mm.
And there's a bit of pressure on him. He needs some runs. But this is the thing. It comes down to like the feelings and the meaning and the culture and the prestige of Australia's number three.
Mm.
And we expect to like anchor and just deliver bulk at all costs and times. Mm. And if Marnus isn't doing that, alongside Steve Smith, like it's like their cycles are in synchrony. You know what I mean? The old McClintock effect. They're not. It's all synced up.
Yeah.
With these two. Yeah. So the thing is, if you can fix one, you might be able to fix both. At the moment, they're Thelma and Louise. You know, driving over the cliff style. Like if you can fix one, you'll get both going again.
I see. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So someone needs to be Brad Pitt in that scenario in the Thelma and Louise. Just some sort of rejuvenation needs to happen.
Something. He's got to go find himself, magic mushrooms, I don't know. Like, can you rip Marnus Labuschagne away from cricket?
Mm.
Yeah, someone said, Marnus, enough's enough. Get away. Oh, I have nothing else.
Maybe he needs, like some LSD trips or something like that.
Yeah.
Or what's it called when you go to, like, South America and you have, like, ayahuasca?
Yeah, okay.
And you start seeing, like, parts of the universe and how it all connects and stuff like that. Maybe he needs that. Oh, he's a religious man, so maybe that wouldn't fly with him, that sort of gear, that sort of Joe Rogan gear. But I'm just suggesting some alternatives.
That's right. I don't want to see him come back to Queensland, to Brisbane. I don't need any more social clips of him playing backyard cricket. Great as it is, all the boys, you know. But he can do it. Just do it in the privacy. Do it in private, you know. Or I don't need to see him, you know, heading to an indoor ball machine, self-feeding ball machine at 1 a.m. You know, driving a little lime scooter out there overcoming. Like, can Marnus fix what he needs to fix just through improving kinks in the technique? The answer is macro.
It's macro.
The answer is spirit.
Yes.
You know, it's something. It's not even get the sticks out. You know, like does he like a golf course?
Put
the kid away and get the sticks out.
Bro, your sticks, haven't you?
Yeah. It's something more abstract than that for Marnus.
I think it's the arts. I think it's the arts.
The arts, yeah.
I think it's – I would be pleased if he came back learning a language. If he started to do press conference in Spanish, for instance.
Yeah.
If he started to film himself learning the theme music from Succession on piano.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing.
Opening up a different side of the brain.
That's right. I think that's what he needs.
Yeah, don't delve deeper into cricket. He's going to get more fidgety and finicky and he's going to start doing things.
And I don't think it's investing in crypto. I don't think
No, it's not finance.
No, because we know with Steve Smith, he's got that down to a fine art, you know, just sort of tinkering the numbers. That's how that brain works over there. With Marnus, I feel like it's spiritual. It's more of an artistic sort of side of the brain that I think needs to be unlocked to free himself from the shackles of going out to bat in concrete boots
because
his feet aren't moving.
Mm.
It's somebody
you're offering, just trying to be constructive here with Marnus. But I mean, I just think...
It's not more
how
balls.
How old is Marnus?
29.
See... You're 29 years old, peak of your powers. Australia has made the investment. You're speaking of finances. They've made the investment. It was a blue chip stock,
and
it can remain.
Yes.
Okay. It might be down a little bit at the moment, but like you don't invest in blue chip number three for Australia for that long.
It's not after
and start talking about Nathan McSweeney coming in. With respect to Nathan, by the way, who is at the moment he's on three not out. I think for South Australia.
Okay. Yeah. Three.
As we go to air.
Three red.
good player, and yeah. and earmarked eyes on him. Yeah, okay. No problem there. No, his time will come.
What I wouldn't give for eyes on me.
Oh. Yeah. Mate, indeed. Happy to fourth wall it. We're going to talk to Ratchan Ravindra today. Didn't happen. All good. But that was one of the questions I wanted to ask him. Like, what's it like having world cricket coup over you?
Yeah.
Just coup, like, man, yeah. you're a hot new young thing.
Mm.
Oh.
Must be nice.
Anyway, so I suppose what I'm saying is, you know, just Marnus has got to get away.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca, LSD,
yep.
Camping, religion,
music,
Toastmasters.
Clay pottery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. The arts, theatre, Belvoir Street, John Doyle, playwright. Yeah.
I think the other guys...
What about makeover? Like, well, sorry, just okay. Would you like to? Could he?
No, I've been saying for a while that I think Cam Green needs to get a bit more about him. You know, I want to see that.
Yes, yes.
I want to see him develop into some sort of I want to see him be a bikey, basically. Mm. That's what I want
to
see.
Or to bring out that side of him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I don't think that's the answer for Marnus. I don't think I don't want tattoos on Marnus. I don't want flashy ink on my number three, mm-hmm. for instance. I don't need a shaved head for Marnus. I don't think that's what he's about. It doesn't make sense to me to unlock that side of him, that sort of criminality.
You can get those Bolivian personality tests, though, where you do have one of nine traits that you get. Now, this isn't Scientology, but you do get you land on one of the numbers, which is who you are. But what they encourage you to do is to develop the wings around you. So if you're a number three, develop your wings of two and four. I'm just wondering that with Marnus, you know, like is there, for Marnus, it's more about the relaxation side of things, right? With Green, it was neck tattoo, bikey, sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Shaved head.
Shaved head.
Robert Snopper.
Hell's Angels, Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
That kind of like
start batting in a red bandana or a blue bandana, indeed. Whichever Bloods or the Crips he
that's
was.
Right. Yeah. Rolling Stone. Whereas Marnus, it's kind of like develop some wings around.
Yeah.
Piano playing,
yes.
You know, something that opens up other parts of your mind.
That's right. That's right.
Get away from the cricket nuffery.
Yeah, he doesn't need more balls thrown at him.
Do you think he might see it that way though? I'm going to double down on the nuff stuff. Maybe, and that might be the only way he knows.
See, I fear that what he thinks at this stage of his life is like, I know the answer, more cricket.
Cricket balls. More cricket. I have 1,000 balls, make it two.
I'm not eating enough cricket balls, metaphorically speaking. I worry that his answer will be, I'm just going to keep playing forever until I sort it out.
Because well,
I think this game fucks you so hard emotionally. And I think, now I'm being serious, I think he has lived the game so much and he loves it. He clearly loves it more than anyone else and that's his thing and that's all good. And you sort of like that in your number three, don't you? You love that he's a cricket nuffy.
We've always encouraged that. So are we being inconsistent?
Yes. So now he's obviously got Rebecca, his wife, and now you've got the family going and he's got the religion. He's got all that packaged up in his life. And mm-hmm. I feel like for the first time, he actually might need to step away from the game. And that's going to be the most foreign.
Step away from his family and his religion.
He needs to go for a pack of cigarettes at the corner store and then maybe don't come back
to run away.
For 3 to 4 years.
That's right. Head up to Arnhem Land, do some legal aid.
He comes back in a 5-day growth, even though he's been gone for 3 years. Not a big
a beard.
He comes back in a beard and he goes, honey, I'm home. I've been abducted by aliens. No, I think he needs to take time away from the game because I think it's...
Can he?
No, well, I don't know if he can.
The thing is, you're a keen golfer, right?
I like...
Yeah, you're a keen golfer. The trend is that, so all good. Yeah, and
that's who I am.
There are the social stuff. But, like, there are times when you're in the bunker and you're like, I'm never getting out of here. I'm gonna be here until I die.
I'm pretty good out of the sand, but I take your point.
How do you do it? Is it just sort of opening up?
Yeah, he's got your wrist.
It's an angle, yeah.
Yeah. It's very
I looked
simple.
At an Insta reel about it.
I play bunkers like Mark Waugh talks about bowling off spin.
Yeah, okay. But I take you understand what I'm saying theoretically.
I've seen others struggle out of the sand.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But you know, that's right. Tell you what.
Yeah, sorry.
Marnus is in the bunker.
Yes, he's in the bunker.
And, and look, Marnus will just be like, I know, I've been in here before and I know how to get my way out.
Hitler's
a lot bunker. Alcoholics say that as well.
Right, okay.
Well, actually, yeah, that was in West Wing.
Anyway, I see.
So yeah. I think we'll probably solve that for Marnus. Steve Smith, averages 58. He can do what he wants.
I think with all the others, that being Khawaja, Smith, Head, there are so many credits in the bank.
I wanted to talk about credits in the bank. Because that's what all this is about.
Yeah.
It's stocks, it's credit, it's the extension of the line of credit, how you accrue the credit.
Because
how much credit does Travis Head have?
I mean,
I'm not saying he's anywhere near close to running out.
I think he is one of – now, he's got popularity credits as well, because not only has he won the game, two of the biggest games in the past couple of years for Australia, that being the World Test Championship final and the World Cup final. And he's so popular because he like chips in with like wickets and it's funny and he does celebrations and he's got a moustache. Like, I think he's one of the most popular cricketers in like a generation. I know he's got like a sort of a Booney-esque motif about him, but only in like he's becoming like this cult figure. And like, so I don't think he's anywhere near a conversation even. But I mean, this is part of the broader point. These, like, the team just keeps winning more and more and more. So like the team has team credits as well, and the individuals have individual credits, like Smith. I mean, like, fuck, Smith could play for 2 years, not score a run. He's like, Smith, he'll figure it out. Start talking about his hands again. I don't think that, like, anyone's in any danger of anything. And also, they're hardly playing. So, like, that's why I started this with, like, it's all redundant because they're just going to play until they don't want to play anymore. But I don't know. Do you feel differently about Head, for instance?
No, I just find the concept of credit interesting, like who gets it and why. But I mean, the reason why people talk about Marnus and Steve Smith and stuff like that, it's sort of sad, I think, in the sense that we've beat New Zealand by 172 runs. It's funny that people are like, well, I don't know, you know. Yeah. Where are we at? You know, do we have to start having a look at this? But it's because there's a two-speed economy in cricket, and what people, I think, are really saying is that going to pass muster? I wouldn't know what that means. I just know it's a saying. It's a farm thing.
I thought it was about English batter Phil Mustard.
Yeah, it's Colonel Mustard. Is that going to pass muster when we're playing tests that mean something around whether we're good or not, of which there's only a couple of games? Like, we basically have India home and away, England home and away, and that essentially decides whether we're good or not.
You're right,
at cricket. And because India's coming out, we haven't beaten them the last two times. That's the question. It's like, can these like indomitable bowlers carry the batting team or continually carry the batting team when we're playing against guys that can actually make you pay for the continued errors of the batting side? But I would just wonder, like, who's waiting in the wings? Who's around? We'll talk about Ollie Davies later. But then
it's also hard to know because, like, the degradation of the Shield is such.
Yeah.
Like, it's been played in different times of the year now, split seasons.
Yeah.
That it's hard to figure out. I mean, that's obviously the best benchmark of who is next to come.
Yeah.
There is no other benchmark for it. But it's now like, yeah, but the gap is probably becoming wider.
That's it. I feel like this Australian side has been I think at some level the powers that be know that the ecosystem and structure of international cricket is such that it's best just to have a squad of guys who are your guys, and it's actually quite hard to get in because the structures and the places to bang the door down are being degraded, as you say.
Yeah.
I mean, we can point to Cameron Bancroft, who's been excellent for several years. Beyond that, they're like – It's difficult to show that you belong.
Well, Marcus
Harris. Because you're doing it at Karen Rolton.
Yeah.
And they're doing it on like a difficult wicket in New Zealand or in India or whatever. So you're always going to have that question of like, well, does it apply? Does the Shield, is Shield, you know, fit for purpose?
Yeah, I'm talking about the one day stuff, like Daniel Hughes averaging 60 in List A cricket. And like, how many of those runs were at North Sydney Oval though? You know, he's never got a shot for Australia, and his record for New South Wales in white ball cricket is fucking unbelievable.
New South Wales guys do get held back unfairly.
I think it's a conspiracy.
Mm.
Let's talk about New Zealand.
Okay.
Once again, scared of Big Brother. And what about this? Now, this has been since usurped with this information, but I like this from Alex Malcolm, ESPN Cricket Info, talking about Wagner returning. Tim Southee said this: we haven't had a lot of discussions as yet. We'll see how Will scrubs up. That's Will O'Rourke, who did a string. The physio hasn't sort of put a time frame on it or how bad it is. We'll just wait and see how Will goes over the next couple of days. I'm sure there'll be an update in the next 24 hours. He then kept on saying, we obviously have to go and make a decision on who comes in and what role we sort of see that playing out in Christchurch. Wagner's had a great reception here over the last week where he got a couple of moments on the field, and obviously he's been a fan favourite for a long time. Now, Ben Sears has been called up for Will O'Rourke this morning. New Zealand coach Gary Stead said there had been no consideration for calling back Neil Wagner. Also, as an aside, Devin Conway has a small fracture on his thumb and he's going to miss the start of the IPL for CSK. So obviously Conway's out of this whole test series, which is a shame. Anyway, I just found it funny that like Wagner obviously announced his retirement. Thierry, that was actually, I think, just happened after our last show, I think might have been last
month. No, we got it. We got it on air.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right, because Aaron Gox. Because
Goxie sent it through. Yeah, we have little lines in different places. Yeah,
that's right. Anyway, and then we saw Wagner subfielding. He was on the bench. He was helping out. He was bowling in the nets before the game. He got on the field subfielding, and then a bloke gets in and he's like, oh, should we call him back? Cummins was like, it might be the shortest retirement of all time. I cannot believe that he's not one of their best bowlers, Wagner. I mean, there's maybe, there's obviously conversations about planning for the future, that sort of thing. Anyway, Sears comes in and I guess we'll have a look at what the deck is. Now, you were telling me that the deck doesn't, it's a graveyard for spinners, Christchurch. Is that what it has been previously?
Well, they also said that Basin Reserve had no history of spin either. So yeah. I don't know. Though, as far as I understand, I mean, just like a lot of, I don't know too much about Hagley Oval deck, and I refuse to know too much about it. Why would I, as someone talking and covering cricket, why would I do any research on that? It's my right as an Australian to go in with full ignorance, expect that the team knows what's going on and that they will make no tactical blunders like the home side did. So I don't know, other than to know that it's a different deck. So, you know.
I look forward to learning about Hagley and what he did to have an oval named after him.
Mm. Likewise. It'd be good to do some history. I can't wait to go, by the way. We're off on Wednesday.
I know.
Yeah. Mm. It'd be good if, you know, all the selection decisions were based on what happened in the last game in different conditions.
Yeah, that's right. New Zealand, though, must feel like it's odd, isn't it? Because they were just, New Zealand at no point were in the game. I mean, like, even after winning the toss, maybe then they were like, we're in for it.
That's not what a commentator said. No, Australia left the door open a few times if New Zealand were going to do something extraordinary. But I don't think New Zealand had control of the game at any time.
Sure. Mm. I mean, just the amount of drop catches. I mean, you even look at the third innings on late on day three, Lyon came in as night watchman, and then he faced the last ball of the day, and he was dropped by Southee at third slip. Lyon then goes, he was on zero at the time, then goes on the next morning to make 41 and top score for Australia. Now, maybe if that didn't happen, maybe something else would have happened, you know? Maybe Australia would have ended up being only 300 in front instead of 369, and then they still win the game by 100. I'm not sure. I think they were so far ahead of that game. Anyway, the point being, there was obviously the calamitous run out with Kane Williamson in the first innings, running into Will Young. You know, Ratchan Ravindra hits a half volley, the point for third ball or something like that, or for a duck anyway. They were just so unders, New Zealand. They're capable of so much more, and I say that non-condescendingly. They do have good players, and they are a good team, but fuck, they just keep finding ways to just not be even remotely in the picture against Australia. I mean, maybe we're just going over old ground here, tunnel stuff, but.
I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
I think they're a better bowling lineup with Santner in there instead of Kugelhupf.
Oh.
For pure cricket perspective.
Yeah. I can't believe that he's the next best.
I say he's got some wheels, but it's the attack looks samey. With him, it's four. What is it? Four run-arm quicks. Is that right? And Ravindra can bowl a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's just a bit samey. But, you know, I'd play Santner at 3-1. Better balance. And you got some spin if you need it.
Santner bats okay as well.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good cricketer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is funny thing about New Zealand in that respect. It wasn't so long ago you're talking about Bolt, Southee, Wagner, Jamieson.
Yeah, that's a different.
It's a different prospect.
That's very good. Now, you look at the middle order, Ravindra, Mitchell and Williamson, Conway at the top, who's done really well in Test cricket.
I mean, yeah.
And then you have those bowlers. It's like, that's a very good team.
Mm. Okay, I'm mixing up Tom Latham and Blundell regularly.
I can't remember who's
keeping and not.
Yeah.
And again, that's my right. Yeah. But still, it's a very good team.
Nick Henry, Henry, which one is it?
Yeah, Henry Nichols, best number six in the world, isn't he?
It's so arrogant. Now, speaking of arrogance, let's talk about us. Now, we had a question on our Patreon show, hashtag IceCDC Fridays, 2 weeks ago, Pezza. We had a question in from Muzz, our friend Muzz.
Muzz.
Who was asking us about the enhanced games and a number of other things anyway, as that often is the case on that Patreon show. We got to talking about what people wear at the cricket and we put a challenge to Muzz, didn't we? That if he wore a combination of cricket paraphernalia, namely a CA branded hat, because he's an Australian fan, AFL jersey, and an Australian flag with written on it with his hometown cricket club or rugby league team, and that had, and that he had to get on TV. If he did that, we'd pay for his subs next season. So Muzz accepted the challenge. He was there. It was there on days 1, 2, and 3. I think it might have been over there in Wellington. He dressed in a CA hat, St Kilda Guernsey.
And the CA hat was Legionnaires hat.
Legionnaires hat. Yeah. He was wearing Smith Optics as well.
Nice little touch.
St Kilda Guernsey, Australian flag with St George Illawarra Dragons written on it with a white marker, possibly twink, as they call whiteout in New Zealand. And he got himself on the coverage in between overs. It was awesome. The DMs were popping off. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people were excited by it. It's one of the best things that's happened to TJC. Fair to say that.
Mm. So the reason we were talking about it was because he was worried about going into New Zealand and whether he'd be held up at gunpoint.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For the choice of paraphernalia, as in there might be officials concerned about him and his history if he was choosing to wear those things. Yes. And we were just making the delineation that you might have four machine guns in Australia pointing at you for doing anything, whereas in New Zealand they're probably just like, no, you're an adult, you can do what you like, which is another good thing about New Zealand. Yeah, exactly. And so he took the challenge and delivered.
So we offered to pay his subs and he wrote in. And he said, in lieu of paying my subs, as I no longer identify as a cricketer, it would be awesome if you could make a small donation to TGC's favourite charity. I can't recall if it was the Chapel Foundation or Greg Chappell's GoFundMe. So we're going to donate to the Chapel Foundation on behalf of Muzz.
We're good for it.
Chapel Foundation raises funds for frontline charities who provide shelter care, education, training and a better future to homeless young people. That's what the Chapel Foundation does. So well done, Muzz. Well played. I doth the old cap there. I doth my Legionnaires cap to you. You've done well.
Got to say, people might be thinking now that there's some kind of PR angle to this. There really, really isn't. Like, this isn't a case of, oh, if you wear this and there's some kind of earned PR for TGC for something and we'll pay money into charity, you're sorely mistaken. You're actually believing that TGC has any kind of strategic impetus to do things like this. This is really just kicks. This is people who are excited to see someone dress up with as much, a pastiche of noncery as possible and get a little kick out of it and get on with your day. Maybe exhale through your nose and move on. So if you would like us, we're good for it. If you're going to do that, like if you want to take up the challenge, your ironic nonce challenge, then you're very welcome. So just to be clear, that's an AFL Guernsey. Can it be an NRL Guernsey? The contrast of two different codes is important. Mm. So you can wear an AFL Guernsey or an NRL Guernsey. It has to be one or the other. You have to have a comically large Australian flag.
Yeah.
And on the flag, you have to write in a marker, like obvious to people who can see it, the name of your NRL, AFL or local cricket club.
Yeah. Could be your hometown as well.
But it has to be in contrast to the Guernsey you're wearing.
Yes.
So if you're wearing an AFL Guernsey, it has to be a rugby league club.
Yeah, you can't be wearing like a Richmond Tigers AFL Guernsey and then say Richmond on the flag.
You also have to wear official Cricket Australia or formerly ACB merchandise as a hat on your head, and then you have to brandish a comically large flag on TV for people to see, and it has to be done in a way that leaves people thinking, what the fuck's going on here?
Is this appropriate for this person to be out in
now,
public?
Now, the thing is, that might sound very elaborate, and you'd be correct if you thought that. But the fact is, Muzz did it. Muzz actually did it. There was no Smith Optics integration. He truly was just wearing them. If you do that, if you wear those things, the ironic nonce challenge, we will pay for your subs if you're a cricketer, or we will donate the equivalent amount of subs to a charity of your choice. Now, let us know how much subs cost. I didn't really pay in the last couple of years, sort of high grade stuff. But Although I think you have to do it through Play HQ now, don't you? Otherwise, you're an asterisk.
Hey, what if like 10 people would do this?
Well, it would be really funny. I mean, that's the thing.
We'll get a whole.
Listen, if someone is going to their suitcase, and they're going, mate, this is fantastic. I'm going to get my subs paid.
Yeah.
And they're prepared, like they actually own an AFL Guernsey. They own the Cricket Australia merchandise. They have it. They're going to buy or own a large Australian flag, get white out, twink, or a white marker, and then get on and then go like walk into the ground with it and then get on TV.
Yeah.
Fair play, we're paying. You're concerned now.
I'm just concerned how many people consume this show and like, yeah, I'm doing that.
Well. You just put us out of business.
If you make this show, Lisa, put us out of business.
But tell us a charity of your choice as well, and we'll back it up.
All right.
That's just kicks. There's no, people have got in touch and said, you know, you should actually do this for like, no.
Have they?
Yeah. You were there.
We're not that calculated.
Yeah, but people have been like, you can actually make something happen here. And it's like, I'd do that if we were smart.
Yeah.
But I think that's against the spirit. Just, I don't know.
I'm going to take this moment, Pezza, to ask you if you ever get frustrated that you can't watch certain live sports events because they're not televised in the country.
I actually do, yeah.
Here's an example, Pezza. Now, this Sunday is Liverpool-Manchester City in the Premier League. Now, I consume that via, I'm just talking about the legality of talking about this. Optusport in Australia. Now, we're going to be in New Zealand, so I don't think I can access that in a foreign country. Mm.
So saying if you were to investigate other options.
Yeah. So what I have to do is I'd have to get a VPN and then set my location to Australia.
Well, someone will own the rights in New Zealand to that.
Yeah, and I better be a subscription, won't it?
Yeah.
So, but I already have a subscription to Optusport. Mm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a VPN because I've got a NordVPN.
Okay.
And I'm going to set my location to Australia, therefore log into my Optus account and then watch the game like that. That's how I'm going to do it. And that's why you need NordVPN. If you want to grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to the custom URL in today's show notes, or you can listen to these words, nordvpn.com/TGC. He goes, what do you get? Here's what you get. You get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/TGC if that's what you want to do. Okay? NordVPN.
Let's keep it going because Pajero's still with us.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? As I said last week as well, you know, today isn't about you. It's not even about me telling you about cricket.
Oh.
There's a different kind of adventure at play. He goes,
I see.
The Pajero Sport.
Is that right?
Now, I know you're asking what kind of SUV is this? Is this just any kind of SUV?
Is this any kind of SUV?
It's not. It's actually the Car Expert 2023 Best Four-Wheel Drive Off-Road SUV.
Different to SVU.
Which Law is and Order.
Law and Order program.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not the same thing. This is a car.
No, that's a TV program.
Oh, okay. You're talking about a car, are you?
This is an automobile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gets you from A to B?
Yes.
What about C on weekends?
Yes.
Okay.
Off-road. Yeah, that's right. The Pajero Sport isn't just about getting you from A to B.
Okay.
It's actually about taking adventure to the next level.
Adventure
at a particular level that you experience it in.
Yeah. What's over there?
Yeah. Now, if you'd like to take, you're like, I'd like to sort of broadly and vaguely take my adventure to the next level.
Next level.
Pajero Sport's the automobile that can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the particulars of the car?
Heads up. What are the particulars?
What are the particulars, say, to automobile enthusiasts? Well, it's got braked towing capacity of 3.1 tons.
It's not 3.1, is it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Tons?
Yep. Doesn't just carry your gear, it hauls your dreams, whether that's a caravan, a boat. So this is obviously when you're taking you're carrying your team on your back. No, a trailer full of cricket gear. Well, it said doesn't just carry gear, okay?
Okay.
And it's got advanced four-wheel drive performance and super select two four-wheel drive system. Advanced four-wheel drive performance. So you've got your four-wheel drive performance, right? Have you ever driven four-wheel drive?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like off-road?
No.
Okay.
No.
I did that once in Alice Springs. It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. Going up some sand dunes and that. I'm legit.
Was it?
Alice Springs, 2009. AJ and Christian, shout out.
Okay.
But we used some four-wheel drive gear. Now, I don't know if it was an advanced four-wheel drive performance. I don't know whether you sort of have advanced, novice, beginner, but nevertheless. And I don't know if it had Super Select 2 four-wheel drive system. So it's actually the ability to switch between two-wheel drive and four-wheel drive at speeds of up to 100 k's an hour. So you're going up, you're going 100 clicks.
100 clicks.
And you're just flicking between them.
Yeah, right.
So if you're like, so if you're cruising on the highway or tackling the rugged outback, the Pajero Sport has you covered.
Has to be rugged, doesn't it? You never seen the outback.
Yeah, I was quite smooth today.
How was the terrain? Rugged?
Yeah.
I went to a hairdresser once called Rugged Yet Smooth.
Oh, and just covering both.
Yeah, yeah.
Not rugged then smooth.
It was,
trying to shave you.
Without question, the worst haircut of my life.
Oh, really?
It doesn't exist anymore. That's why I'm happy to say the name of the place.
Did you say anything while your hair was getting cut? Or just no, it was great.
But they were just starting up a business. So like it was near where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, new barbershop just opened up. Pop down there, see what's going on. Young guy starting it, nice guy. And then the guy that cut my hair, it was like Edward Scissorhands had 30 beers. Absolute butcher.
Now, Edward Scissorhands he'd be quite good, wouldn't he?
Not with 30 beers in his system.
Mm, okay.
30 King Lears.
Yeah. Britney Spears.
Anyway, and then because they were just starting up like their website stuff, they just started to get a bit of a vibe in the community vis-a-vis social promotions.
Fuck it.
Anyway, bloke took a photo.
Start up a website there.
Anyway, bloke took a photo on an iPad. Just like, oh, do you mind if I take a photo for the like their socials? Whatever. I was like, yeah, no dramas. Looked at it. It's like one of the worst haircuts of
really?
My life. Yeah,
just anyway. Like clumps taken out.
Yeah. Real short, uneven, no good. Anyway, that was I still think about it most days, but
I still love getting haircuts.
That was rugged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about the 3.1.
Anyway, so you got to elevate your game. Pajero Sport's ready to take you on your next big adventure with the performance capability and style to make every journey legendary.
Okay.
Now, that is a promise. Oof. Every single journey is legendary.
Just going down the shops, get some milk, come back.
Who's saying that to?
The mirror.
The miso. The mirror. Have you ever been on a legendary journey? Legendary. Fuck, that was legendary. I was I used to go to Blues and Roots Music Festival with my mates for a period of 6 or so years there, and we would always get a big van or some shit, and my mate drove the van into a drive-through Bottle-O and just squeezed the car into the Bottle-O.
Yeah, right.
So the hot, like, probably top, I don't know, fifth of the car, like the top part of it.
Yeah.
It was just completely stuck in there. Just went in there. And we must have been near like Lennox Heads, Brunswick Heads. I can't remember exactly where.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, I reckon we're talking about like a 10 a.m. in the morning, 11 a.m. in the morning. But already a couple of blokes set up at the bar, like the adjoining bar of this Bottle-O. Mm-hmm. Greatest thing they'd ever seen. Just blokes walked out. Someone just went home, fetched a hammer, and just started hammering the car out. Oh, and it needed to happen.
Yeah, right.
That cost a bit of money.
Sure it did. No, I'm trying to think of even like a massive road trip I've been on.
Mm.
You know, some guys like go to like the US and they do like a Mustang and they drive cross country.
I did that.
That kind of, yeah.
Mm.
I've never done that. I've never done like a cross country adventure, I don't think. Mm. I drove from Sydney to Melbourne. That doesn't really count.
Mm.
I mean, it's a 12-hour drive or whatever, but no, I've never been on a legendary.
I went, like, a mate of mine, the three of us were in the US, and we drove from, and it must be nice, and it is. We drove from Vegas to San Francisco, and at the time, one of my friends was, attempting to court an American woman. That he had had a relationship with in Australia.
All right, I've heard about people doing this.
Me too. Novel idea.
Yeah. A woman.
And time had elapsed, and we were going to San Francisco to meet her, and we were all sort of friends, but like I think we were going to get some accommodation with her. And on the night before we left Vegas, to go to San Francisco. This is after maybe we'd spent 3-4 weeks in the US driving around. She let him know that actually she was seeing somebody else.
Perfect.
Yep. And
legendary.
And the night before was a, yeah, like he was a bit disconsolate, but we had a good night. I'm sure we did anyway. And then that morning, you know, when we took off from Vegas, it was like,
oh my God.
Come on, let's go and get your girl. You know, putting the bitches back on by Elton John. Anyway. Yeah.
Let's go, girls.
And it all culminated in an arrival in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And we went to Dolores Park for July 4.
Okay.
The night before we'd watched Origin.
Oh, yeah, right.
Had some of, without going into it, some of the most explosive, worst influences, you know. And so we felt like rat shit.
Yeah, right.
And we got there and he's great. And I know he's watching, which is why I'm kind of dragging this out. But we got there and his great party trick is that he has a concave chest.
Yeah.
And so his great party trick is that you can do shots out of his chest.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's when people, you know, that's when the party gets started.
I see. Yeah.
And this woman's new man was there only to, once the concave chest came out from my friend, his great magnum opus.
Yeah.
You know, where he might have the woman drink out of his chest once more.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
He took off, this man took off his own shirt to reveal his own concave chest.
No way.
And now we're sucking vodka out of both of their chests. And they're married now with children.
I see. Well, it was just meant to be.
Yeah. Love you, Maccas.
That's not.
Here, take your adventure to the next level with Pajero. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Pajero Sport.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
India versus England, fifth test. Here's some news. KL Rahul, still not fit.
Okay.
He's actually in London seeing a specialist.
Result. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bumrah.
On the back West
in.
End.
He's on the West End.
Mm. West
That's just a joke between Pez and I. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, India. That's to do with nugget rays.
Don't worry about it.
It's a different thing. That's to do with nugget.
So, KL Rahul, what did he have? Have a string?
It was a quad.
He had a quad.
He had a quad. Because he benches. He's got big squats.
Squatting. Anyway, Jasprit Bumrah has come back in. He obviously was rested or withdrew from the fourth test match squad, but he's back in for the fifth test. What does that mean? I don't know. I guess time will tell. Haven't seen actually a lot of news heading to this game for the Durham-Charlotte test, which starts on Thursday night. Starts on Thursday. Johnny Bairstow, though, is going to play his 100th test match, Pezza.
Yep.
Here's Michael Vaughan saying his things in the Telegraph. Johnny Bairstow plays his 100th test in Durham-Charlotte, and I'm delighted about that. It's a great triumph of resilience, and even in terms of sentiment, I believe that if you get to 99 caps, you deserve the moment of your 100th. However, you can't escape that he could miss out on his 101st. He hasn't played well enough across the 10 tests since he's been back in the side, especially in India. He was obviously injured for a long time because he snapped his leg, which no one really talks about how that happened. But on the golf course there, and he played the Ashes. He played the 5 Ashes test match. This will be the 10th test here. I played all 5 in India, and it hasn't really quite worked out in the same capacity. He averages 36 over his 99 test matches so far. He's got 1200s. We were talking before about like Bairstow's. I mean, we're talking legacy here with a guy that's played 100 test matches. It's an amazing achievement. So well played, YJB. Ups and downs, ins and outs. He's just a completely mercurial cricketer. One of the best white ball players that England's ever produced. One of the best white ball players in this generation of players across internationally, you would say. T20 record, played in the IPL with great success. The test record, an interesting one. Obviously, wicket kept for heaps of those games, averaging 36. That's okay, but
expectations of average goes down when you've got the gloves as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think I get the feeling Michael Vaughan's right. I mean, the next test match they play is against the West Indies. They've got 2 tests against West Indies at home. That'll be in, I guess, June or whatever that'll be in the UK summer. So it's interesting to see what the makeup of the side is there. But he's going to get his 100th cap. So we'll play YJB.
I think, yeah, you know, you don't select yourself. I think if you get 100 tests, that's an incredible effort. It's also testament to the ceiling of the guy. You know, deeply dynamic cricketer. He's had some incredible...
Dynamic's good.
Yeah, he's got some... You know, that season a couple of years ago against New Zealand, South Africa, was it as well? Could be wrong there. We just couldn't get out. Just bulk hundreds, deluxe.
Yeah.
As you say, white ball cricketer par excellence. Great with the gloves. You know, but also, yeah... If Harry Brook was available at best, they'll probably drop out. I think that they will pick him in the summer because, you know, they're playing who they're playing. They're at home comforts. He's the absolute spirit animal of Bazball. They'll back him to just go and entertain people again. Really entertaining cricketer when he gets going.
Yeah.
Heaps of funny stories about him. He's loved by his teammates. And I think on the occasion of someone's 100th test, it's worth celebrating all that they are, you know, rather than just being idiots on the internet. Poring over, you know, where it sits in the annals of other guys who've played 100 tests. You know, he's done some great things for England. So, yeah, fair play to him.
So that game starts on Thursday, obviously. So just there's some news about BCCI contracts. They split the contracts into grades. So it's A+, this is awesome. A+, A, B, and C. Those are the levels.
Mm.
So in grade A+, Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, Jasprit Bumrah, Ravindra Jadeja.
I love this so much, man.
Grade A is Ashwin, Shami, Siraj, KL Rahul, Shubman, Hardik Pandya. Grade B is Sky, Rishabh, Kuldeep Yadav, Aksar, and Jaiswal.
Interesting.
Grade C, Rinku Singh, Tilak Verma, Gaikwad, Shardul Thakur, Dubey, Ravi Bishnoi, Jitesh Sharma, Washington Sundar, Mukesh Kumar, Sanju Samson, Ashdeep Singh, KS Bharat, Prasid Krishna, Avish Khan, and Rajat Patidar. So that means that there's no Ishan Kishan or Shreyas Iyer. And apparently, as I've learnt this morning, Jurel, who did so well last game, and Sarfraz Khan could join the grade C category if they feature in the final test against England in Dharamshala.
You have to play three.
The criteria for a grade C contract requires players to play a minimum of 3 tests or 8 ODIs or 10 T20Is within the specified period. So, but no Shreyas Iyer, who actually was playing literally in this series. And he scored 100 in the World Cup semi-final. He's been injured. He's had a back. I think he actually featured in the semi-final of the Ranji Trophy in the past week. That is bizarre. He's been the guy for a little while, and now he's not on any grade level for the BCCI contract. I feel like there must be more to it. Sonny Gavaskar has written articles and spoken about in defense of Shreyas Iyer, saying like this guy's good. He'll come good, but that's a huge omission. I would have thought Shreyas Iyer.
There appears to be some difference of opinion around the impact of his injuries to his performance. I think Shreyas has been claiming that he's in pain from injuries, and I think the assessment of the official India team is that his injuries are not that bad.
It's very Daniel Sturridge.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what Shreyas needs to know to his benefit is that if he spends time out of the game, he will become Marco van Basten.
Yes.
As Daniel Sturridge did.
That's right.
So, mate, I think Shreyas is... He's worth keeping around.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. The Ishan Kishan issue, I can't... I don't know enough about it to talk about it, and that's going to frustrate people.
Mm.
Something to do with international cricket, wasn't it? Or making himself available for some shit.
Or something, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let us know in the comments. That's the best you can do. What?
We're going to talk about Shreyas Iyer, who literally scored 100 against New Zealand in the semi-final when... I mean, you were just talking about just before. They made 400 in the semi, or 390.
Yeah.
Whatever.
104 off 70-something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he scored another... He scored two other hundreds, didn't he?
Well, I mean, they all did, except in the last game.
That's true.
They all did except for the last game.
Yeah, the one that mattered.
Yeah. Oh, we lost 5,000 subscribers. Weren't even that rude.
But then we said anything. Oh, well.
Well, I mean, bring it back to us. But, comments, let us know. Like, was it particularly sort of... obnoxious? I don't think it was. I feel like I've been more obnoxious.
To New Zealanders recently.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's we are losing enough. A higher proportion, as much of a proportion of Kiwi fans.
That's maybe there's maybe two true. Of them. Maybe true. Fucking hell. may be true. So that's what's going on. So we talk about the Sheffield Shield, talk about the...
I'm sorry, mate, but okay. On India or England, I'm just pulling out a little section of, again, best in the business, Ali Martin. Just talking about Ollie Robinson.
Okay.
He makes it clear that this is only a side issue. So Ali's really clear that the issues with Ollie Robinson, you know, and how he went in the last test, which was he was very unders, and what he's... Yeah, yeah, that's right. And he's saying, like, they're very on-field performance-related and around his own fitness and stuff like that. Yeah, but seems to be one part of this piece that people like. Have his piece? It says, though a side issue... He's making the side issue. Though it's a side issue. Yeah. Robinson's podcast with social media influencer Mia Baker, his girlfriend, has also frustrated a regime battling with public perception.
Sure.
He revealed a visa error by the management at the start of the tour, and in the episode published on Tuesday after the fourth test, he marvelled at the luxury of the private jet the team took from their mid-series break in Abu Dhabi. At England's request, the episode has subsequently been taken down.
Well, it won't be the first.
I think solidarity solidarity with the podcasters, for me. You know, this scourge of the burning of the books, you know, when things are said that are real. Right. Like, we've had that stuff before.
Sure.
So I say solidarity with Ollie and Mia.
Yeah.
Me doll. And I think freedom of speech on that sort of stuff. Okay, like, he's literally doing his job. He's spoken what they wanted a quiet part to be out loud. Private jets, Abu Dhabi, couple of visa issues. This is the kind of, like, I don't know. It's the kind of stuff the English journalists would be worried about as well. It's like, you know, Robbo is doing what everyone feared athletes would do, starting to break the news and not provide that sheen of, like, polished PR that athletes usually engage in when they're in, you know, places, like in sort of public spheres.
I think a lot of people will hope that the podcast continues. I think a lot of people will be wishing that more gold is going to come out of this show.
That's what makes
all just content.
Yeah.
It's all just content.
It puts, like, we're in trouble. When you've got Ollie Robinson just saying from the off, he's just like, mate, it was a visa error.
We can't compete with that.
This whole thing was a visa fuck up. And then also, like, love me a private jet over Abu Dhabi. I tell you, it was
good, fucking private jet when we ducked off to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Brought our sticks. Lost the next game by 343, but fucking hell, the jet was nice.
After it was, mid-series. It was their mid-series break. Yeah.
Mid-series break.
Mm. But they took it down. But now we want to find it, you know, and there'll be people out there who can do that.
It's actually bringing more eyeballs.
Exactly. Streisand effect. Goal, that's actually.
Oh, it's been taken down. Where do I find it?
Exactly. And he'll have it in the back. He'll have it. And see, now he's got nuclear codes.
What did Kyle Jamieson say and Dan Christian talk about and they were playing for RCB? What did they say?
Yeah, exactly.
And where can I find that?
Exactly.
People did find that somehow.
Yeah.
It's not like a Chinese website, wasn't it? Oh, well.
Well, we've got it in our unlisted videos.
Well, that's encouraging people to hack into that.
Yeah. They won't find much.
Sheffield Shield.
Okay.
Wilbekov's got hit in the head again, man. Against Tassie by Riley Meredith. Here's what a statement from Cricket Victoria said. Pekowski, who walked from the field, is being monitored by medical staff. More information will be provided at a later stage. This is what Puck said on the Vic State Cricket podcast recently. He said this: I sort of link the mental health stuff back to my first concussion, which was when I was about 15 or 16. I have a lot of concussion symptoms that over a 7 or 8 year period actually never subsided. You just sort of got used to having them in a way. The brain's pretty amazing and can find ways to adapt. I would fail concussion tests in the exact same way every single time, regardless of whether I'd been hit in the head. And that was over a 7 or 8 year period. The mental health has been a much bigger issue for me than even the concussions, he added. I don't fear for my long-term health. It's more the mental health side, that's been the tougher part. One day I'll be ready to tell my whole story, and it'll probably make a lot more sense. I've explained what I've been through to my inner circle of people, and actually all the responses I've got have been like, Jesus, I would never have guessed that in a million years. That doesn't even make sense to me. It hasn't made sense to me for years either, but I've been on this pathway to understand it all. So that's some of the background from the horse's mouth, I suppose, with Puck. But Oh, fucking hell, man. I mean, like, I've had people messaging me even about this, like, that it's like, and like basically all the commentary around it is like, it's so, it's so sad. I feel like people are not necessarily annoyed. They're not annoyed, but they're like, oh, fucking hell, this has just got to stop. And I don't even know what you'd even say to that, because it's like, I have absolutely no idea. People think that I'm actually a doctor, but I'm not. So I can't really comment on the health side of things, but but you know what I mean? Like, so many people are like, oh, fucking hell, man. Like, what's going on? Like, how long can this keep happening? I mean, I'd find it hard to believe that whatever head knock this is, 12, 13, 14, whatever it is, they can't be like proper concussions every single time. Otherwise, like, Victorian cricket wouldn't let him play. Like from a legal perspective, they wouldn't be allowed to let him play. So there's obviously, therefore, in my head anyway, there's more to this than what I can understand or what the public understands. Mm. I think Will sort of alluded to that just there, and in that statement
he's made it really clear.
The Vic State Cricket Podcast. I don't know what you say, but it just seems to me in my news feed, he plays one or two games and it happens again.
Mm.
And like the weirdness of such a good player, such a good cricketer, getting hit in the head like every second time he plays and has to go off the field. That is at the very least bizarre.
Mm.
Don't know what else to say about it, man. I don't know. It's just people are upset for him, I suppose.
Yeah, I think he's made it clear that when you see him get hit in the head, we're not just talking about a guy that's getting concussed and that's the long and the short of it. That,
yeah,
as
right.
You say, there are times when it happens where the concussion is not the thing that's happening.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, nevertheless, we are, you know, there's just going to be like a pub talk about it, which is a compliment to Will because people see what a talent he is and what he can offer us in our lives.
Yeah.
If he was playing for Australia.
What can that do for me?
Exactly. We can walk in and out of rooms, see some numbers that we like against a name, exhale through our nose and get on with our day. And so they're going to, you know, people will just take what they know into that kind of situation. And what we see regularly is him getting hit in the head. And this particular one off Riley Meredith looked quite ugly in the way his knees nasty. Buckled and whatnot. And so naturally people will worry about his health, you know, and about his head there. But I think he's made really clear on a couple of public sort of utterances that it's a little bit more complicated than that. Perhaps positively or not. I don't know what the latest one means for him, you know? I mean, you're into the realm of, like, speculating over somebody's medical situation, and we just don't know how it is. But, I think what you can say from a sporting perspective, it must be so frustrating for him to so regularly find himself in games and then out of games, you know, because of these incidents that happen, and probably for his coach and his teammates as well, you know. So, again, all you can do is wish him the best. It is something we've obviously never seen before. He did seem recently to have broken through some kind of barrier when it came to his own cricket, whether that was, you know, through scoring 100 in his last game, which he hadn't done for a little while, or even before that in a second 11 game, getting hit, going off the field and resuming the game. These were all, kind of communicated as steps forward for him. Mm. So it must be, you know, more than frustrating to have this incident kind of pop up again. But you are just reluctant to speak with any, and we love speaking with smug oversimplification about things, but to speak with any of that kind of tone when it's been made so clear that there is information about this that we're just not privy to. Will has regularly said, I'll talk about it more later. And that when I do tell people, they say, you know, that they would never have guessed that. So I don't know what the latest one means in terms of everything that's come before. I suspect it's just another occurrence. Mm. So I just hope, what you can say simply is, like, be great if he didn't get hit in the head with a cricket ball that much.
Yeah,
just get for excited. Him and for yeah, I did see. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Just got to get excited.
I think about, like, Will watching this, but I do think this is funny. I did see a comment on SMH under the latest one saying, like, obviously a technique problem. Has he tried a motorbike helmet or something? I know it's a left field suggestion.
Yeah. Junior 176.
Peter Bruckner, and I'm paraphrasing here, I think it's a former Cricket Australia team doctor, noted that it is true to say that pre-helmets there was less
incidents of
balls hitting heads because players had back and across techniques and they, you know, weren't as keen to get on the front dog, if you will. But today with technology, with the technology of helmets, you don't get hit on the head as much. You do get hit on the head more because people will just go for it a little bit more and techniques have changed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what happened, it was in this game, there was actually a great game. So it was Tassie against Victoria. It was in Hobart. Tasmania now atop of the Sheffield Shield. There's one round left. So there's also two games happening still as we're recording right now. It's Western Australia, Queensland and South Australia, New South Wales in Sydney. And the other game's in, I actually don't know where it is. I think it might be in Queensland. No, I don't know. But in that game, Tassie and Victoria. So Will Sutherland took 5 for 73 in the first innings. Tassie out for 240. Then Victoria out for 106 in their first innings. Tasmania then hit 307 thanks to Bo Webster's 167 red in the third innings of the game. Now, old Slug, 840 runs this year, averaging 70. Bancroft is next most runs with 704 at 50. That's obviously a great season. Nick Maddison made 109 in the fourth innings of the game of Victoria's 384. They fell 57 runs short. That's when the last innings of the game was when Puck got hit in the head. He was on zero. I think he might have faced one or two balls. So Nick Maddison, his last, well, since February 1, he scored 104, 108, and 109. So that's 300s in less than a month.
Going to go on with it.
And Maddo's 32 years old. It doesn't matter because in 2 years' time, he'll be 34 when there'll be an entire change.
New South Wales?
So
I think he's been batting very well.
I think so. Western Australia and Queensland. Queensland, they need 450 or something like that in the final innings. The game's happening right now.
They're 4 for 80.
They're 4 for 80, so the game's over. All right, Western Australia. Well, then they're going to leapfrog.
Vix,
yeah, okay. So at the moment, it'd be, there's still one game left. It'll be Tasmania, Western Australia at the top. Anyway, Jaden Goodwin, Murray Goodwin's boy, 115. Xavier Bartlett, that's a name you might remember. Yeah, yeah. 5 for 64. Yeah, okay. And Josh Inglis has hit 136 and 47. Just put a bit of pressure on the current wicketkeeper, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe not.
They like Carey. Well, they like his gloves.
I like Carey.
Me too.
Hey, what about South Australia and New South Wales, Pezza? Looks like New South Wales are marching towards a victory there. Have you got the live score there?
2 for 80, South Australia.
Nice. Okay. So
I wouldn't say.
Okay, well, New South Wales made 510 the first innings. Mm. Dan Hughes, 114. Ollie Davies, 116, batting at 7. Okay.
Well, yeah. Oh, very interesting.
New South Wales player is doing well. That's interesting.
Yeah. Another 100 for a New South Wales player.
Hmm.
Where's he in the queue?
Next.
Yeah, I'd say he'd be close.
Yeah.
Get him in.
Travis Head's got to go.
Marnus.
Yeah, Marnus. Yeah.
Marnus looking over his shoulder at Ollie Davies.
Seems mean laughing at Ollie Davies, but
no, he's six. He batted six.
Oh, he batted six. My mistake. Yeah. Is Greeny batting seven? Chris Greeny?
No, Jack Edwards was 48 for Jack. Now, wonderful. I know. Now I know. Slug's got 870.
Now there's an all rounder right there.
Yeah, Jack Edwards 48. A very successful season for Jack Edwards.
That's interesting.
He'd have to be breathing down the Mitch Marsh.
So Bo Webster can bolt offies and medium pace, and he's hit 840 runs at 70 this year. But I like Jack. I like Jack Edwards.
Chris Greene, 63.
Greeny.
Red.
A couple of greens in the side.
Yeah.
That's something for the eyes there. Like, Chris Greene. Oh, yo, yes, please.
A few things better.
Oh, daddy, could have some more.
Yeah, just a walking cucumber over the eyes. And Hughesy as well. And Nick Maddison, 100 on.
That's interesting.
What are you saying? Yeah. Who else? Charlie Stobo playing for WA.
Yeah, Charlie Stobo.
Is he playing this game?
Yeah, he's playing. He's been on the winning side.
Yeah.
Charlie Stobo, he's been. I saw Menenti for South Australia.
Oh, 70,
yeah. Well,
interesting. Yeah. Nathan Lyons, he's a friend of Nathan Lyons, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Nathan Lyons, dummy half, goes pop. There you go.
Hashtag AskTGC.
That's the Shield wrap. I think, so Tassie have a home final now, I think, if we're having won this game. I think that just about gets them sorted out for a home final.
Right, okay.
So,
is that right?
I don't know. Probably.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
All right, hashtag AskTGC. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I do.
It's coming via Patreon, Pezza.
Okay, Patreon. This is from someone who calls themselves Pat Cummins' Samurai Sword. Boys. Recent chats about childhood embarrassment and private school noncery has prompted me to write to you about my only lasting memories from my short-lived cricketing career. I was 12 years old and playing for my Year 7 school team in the leafy green suburbs of a private all-boys school playing grounds. From memory, such was our privilege, we played on a pristine turf wicket duly prepared by the large team of ground staff employed to manage the school's sprawling estate. However, this aesthetic juxtaposed with the fact that the boundary was marked by differently coloured plastic cones. I can't recall if the cones were the norm in school cricket, but from memory they sometimes created a level of uncertainty regarding whether the ball had passed over the boundary. And thus brings me to the incident that, for whatever reason, my brain hasn't allowed me to forget. My memory of the surrounding events is a bit hazy, but I think what happened was this. Our opposition was batting. They had been accumulating runs, and we had been securing wickets, both at a sedate tempo. Predictably, there hadn't been many boundaries since every cricket-playing private school kid at that age had noodles for arms. Getting a four was a big deal for most of us. Their number six or so had hit a shot past me, fielding at cover or some shit. There was nobody in the outfield near where the ball was headed, so it was up to me to chase the ball as it headed towards the boundary. It was tight, but I managed to get to the ball in time. Having watched much more cricket on TV than I had played, I thought if I just tapped the ball in a backwards motion with my hands as it was rolling away from me, it'd stop. Then I'd be able to turn around, pick it up, and throw it back to the keeper. I didn't realise that I had to tap it backwards with quite a bit of force. It turns out that since both the cricket ball and I were travelling at a decent clip, my backwards tap only slightly slowed the momentum of the ball, like throwing a ball backwards in a moving car.
This is very descriptive.
I like it. Yeah. It was like the Glenn Phillips thing. Anyway. Therefore, even though I had reached the ball in time, I continued to roll about a foot over the imaginary line between the cones, demarcating the boundary. I felt pretty embarrassed at my effort and in frustration grabbed the ball and threw it back to the keeper. Oh, here we go. To my surprise, however, nobody realised that it had gone over the boundary. Everyone on the field was quite to assume that I had stopped the ball short and that the batters had run two or three or whatever. I was fielding on the other side of the ground to the dressing rooms and the handful of people watching, so nobody was close enough to see it go over. Rather than own up to the fact that it was a boundary, I went along with it and jogged back to my mark. Mid-jog, I took a peek back to the boundary to see if anyone I hadn't noticed saw my blatant cheating. And my eyes immediately locked with the 40-year-old groundskeeper, slumped over his ride-on mower, who gave me a look that resembled one from my regularly disappointed father. The shame I felt has stuck with me ever since, some 20 years later, and I've developed a physical tic that arises whenever I see a fielder attempt a similar maneuver in front. For instance, the finger bash league. This tic manifests as either a sort of squirm or an exasperated breath out of the nose around the time the fielder contacts the ball. I still wonder what the groundskeeper thought of my actions that day. Did he lament that his job involved preparing leisure time facilities for the cheating, snotty-nosed children of affluent, negatively geared coats, actively working to make society worse for their own benefit? And that I, as their progeny, was destined to repeat the cycle as evidenced by my unsporting act on the field? Or maybe he wasn't even watching the game and was just people-watching whilst waiting for the game to end so he could have a pint of milk with the umpires. My questions are in the following terms. 1. Have you developed any of your own tics or visceral reactions that occur when watching a particular cricket phenomenon? 2. How do I get over this? The game ended up being one of my last ever organised games of cricket as I focused my lack of talent towards other pursuits, so exposure therapy through going round again isn't really an option 21 years later, nor is redeeming myself through acts of kindness on the field. My only other memories of playing cricket was between the ages of 8 and 12, and that was being scared of the ball and having a backstop when I wicket kept. Is the solution to simply quit watching cricket and completely avoid any triggers to my PTSD? Yours in complex emotional baggage, Pat Cummins' Samurai Sword.
Okay, that's an interesting one, Pezza, because...
Yeah, really interesting.
Okay, first of all, we need to say, like, put your milk out for Murray, as a testament to his glittering umpire career.
Okay, yeah.
So just any social media posts of put your milk out for Murray, and we'll get that up on the...
Not saying we'll pay for your subs.
Not saying...
No.
but I think we need to start the hashtag. Hashtag milk out for Murray.
Okay. You can do that from the personal.
Anyway, now this is an interesting one where I wouldn't usually recommend that someone goes back into cricket.
Oh, well, but he has said he's ruled that out as an option.
But
how interested is he in getting over his PTSD?
I don't think you can just sit in the mire of just...
What does he do once he's back?
Doesn't cheat for a bit?
Fuck. Still there. He's just in between. It'll happen again.
Yeah, but he gets a chance to redeem himself. But don't you
maybe he gets a chance to do it again and again and again and develop such a litany of cheating episodes he can't even remember which one fucking now sets him off. Good.
See, I think what's most likely,
he normalises it.
Is the groundskeeper was so fuck-eyed that morning, as most groundskeepers are on a Saturday morning, having to turn up and just mow a ground for some snotty-nosed, private school, limp-wristed, noodle-armed children. Then you know, that groundskeeper was not paying attention. He was barely.
Yeah.
But that groundskeeper represents Pat Cummins' samurai swords consciousness.
It's a very interesting point from a
consciousness. Conscience.
From a psychological perspective.
Yeah.
Was it the act of the groundskeeper being perceived to judge him that caused him to worry? Or is it him worrying about himself? Because he didn't seem to have a fucking problem if no one saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If no one said, so.
If he got away with it.
If he's even.
Tree falling in the wood stuff, Pezza.
Yeah. If he's trying to, he's trying to assuage a guilty conscience only because he got caught. He's only worried because he got caught. He's trying to come across here like he's a man of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
But he's only worried about his fucking perception. He's probably taken after his dad.
Yeah, that's right.
Which will serve him well. In life, that's just a pragmatic way of going about your life.
Yeah.
Get away with any cheating that you can.
Would you go into the Olympic Games and run 100 metres in 8.9 seconds and people would be like, you're the best ever, fully knowing that you're juiced up to the eyeballs? Or would you show remorse once it was, revealed that you'd been injecting horse steroids into your quads or however it works?
I want to just quickly pick up on an irrelevant, unnecessary nuance of this. That
finally.
When, I'm sure you'll have experienced this. I'm curious about the fact that he's unleashed one of his greatest all-time throws only when knowing that the ball's gone for four, believing everyone else did, and he's just thrown it out of anger. And I just presume it's just landed right over the bales.
Yeah.
So he had no performance anxiety about it other than just his own anger. Because he writes very neatly in a very polished, lawyerly manner almost here. And just I'm sitting underneath this is a real coat.
Yeah.
No,
he
plays his best cricket when he's angry.
Yeah.
And there's no performance issues. And he is prepared to cheat so long as nobody sees him. I haven't really come close to how he gets over this. I mean, I would one thing you could do practically, if we accept that his only issue is that he was caught by somebody, he could just seek out the groundsman. Now, the groundsman may still be alive. The groundsman's 40-odd. Now, what he needs to understand is if he at age 15 or 16 here,
12.
He's 12. So if he at age 12 thought the groundsman was 40, that groundsman's probably 25.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I say he's hungover as fuck.
Exactly. So the groundsman's, if this was 15, 21 years ago,
right.
The groundsman's in his 40s now.
Yes.
So firstly, seek out the groundsman. The school will have records. Yep. You're probably, got access to that kind of stuff as a moneyed class, landed gentry, noodle-armed cuck.
Alumni.
Yes, school alumni. So seek out the groundsman and just ask him.
You know, weird thing is, though, there was no groundsman in 1997. It was just the ghost of girlfriend's past.
My girlfriend came back in a dream as a groundsman slumped over a ride-on mower.
Because he cheated on his girlfriend
when
he was in year seven.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. He's also been done for insider trading because he got a job in finance and he's been cheating the system. That's what's happened here.
Was he talking about sharing a pint of milk with someone? Yeah. He might need to, like, in terms of redemption, he might need to take up an umpire's course. Particularly, you mentioned Murray Erasmus.
Yeah.
And contrary to what you might think, not become an umpire who upholds morality and laws, but go the other way.
On the take.
Like, fully embrace the influence of the umpire. Like, only give decisions when players are friendly to you.
They say your first name.
Yep. Allow yourself to be tapped up and charmed. Like, to the point where you're engaged in, like, you know, light to medium horseplay with skippers at all levels. Do you know, like, to the point where you're almost like, are we flirting? And give decisions accordingly.
Yep.
So what you're really doing is normalizing the, you know, what many people would say is the reality of life, which is it's dog eat dog, you know? Thomas Hobbes, nasty, brutish, short, get involved.
It's something to think about. Thanks as always for your viewership, listenership and indulgence in this here program. You can join us on Patreon, patreon.com/greatcricketer, if that's what you want to do, and get around TGC as hashtag Ask TGC Fridays. This week, Pezza is going to be coming from Christchurch. We see you in Christchurch this week. You'll be coming to the show. Really looking forward to seeing you guys over there. And we'll be at the ground for the second test match for days one and two before we're flying back to Melbourne. You can catch our dailies here for the India-England test series and, of course, New Zealand and Australia. All happening at just about the same time. Thanks as always for joining TGC. We'll see you guys on the internet next time. Cheers.